for the discount rate issue, and we have till 12:15, I think, with any luck. This is paper 14.
Morning. Agenda paper 14 is about the determination of the discount rate for post-employment obligation. Agenda paper 14A is a letter that we received a few days ago on this topic. According to paragraph 83 of ICE 19, the discount rate should be determined by reference to market yields on high-quality corporate bonds. A common approach used in practice is to consider high-quality corporate bonds only the bonds that receive one of the two highest ratings given by a rating agency. In the paper, we call this bond AA bonds. The issue is whether corporate bonds with a rating lower than AA can be considered to be high-quality corporate bonds. We note that ICE 19 does not specify what grade of bonds should be considered as high quality. In our view, entities should apply their judgment in determining the minimum rating that can be considered to be high quality and should comply with the guidance provided in paragraph 84 and 85 of ICE 19. We summarize this guidance in paragraph 20 of the paper. We also think that according to paragraph 122 of ICE 1, an entity should disclose the judgments made in determining the discount rate, if the decision about the discount rate has a material effect on the financial statements. We perform outreach on this topic with the ISB Employment Benefits Working Group, the International Actuarial Association, National Standard Setters and Regulators. On the basis of our outreach, we think that the issue is widespread and then there is divergence in practice. However, in our view, this diversity is mainly due to other factors, such as the database used and the extrapolation techniques used. We recommend that the committee should not add this issue to its agenda, because the question is about application of judgment rather than interpretation of the standard. Consequently, we think that the committee will not reach a consensus on this issue on a timely basis. We discussed this issue with a group of European preparers and they agree with our proposal. We are asking the committee if they agree with our recommendations and if they comment on our proposed tentative agenda decisions. Thanks.
Reactions?
Hiro. Well, maybe first of all, I can understand that preparers agree with your tentative agenda decision. No other comment to that. Would have been surprised if there wouldn't have been. But I totally agree with you that there is diversity in practice out there, even though the prevalent practice out there is to use, as it's said in the paper, AA as high-quality corporate bonds. So we have seen calculations done by actuaries that the difference of up to 100 basis points already. My concern is, and I agree with the staff, by the way, saying that the standard doesn't tell you it's AA. I agree with that. But my concern is that people are telling us there is diversity in practice out there in understanding how to interpret what high-quality corporate bonds really means. And I think one of the questions that the submitter asked is, there are different views. Is it a risk-free rate or isn't it a risk-free rate? And we don't give an answer to that. My concern is with what we're saying here, diversity will increase because I could see companies with this guidance or this, well, it's not a guidance, it's just an agenda decision, saying, well, okay, it could be triple A, it could be triple B, could be double B. And simply by saying, yes, but you have to disclose what you have done in under 122, doesn't really help the readers of the financial statements, because just by saying we think that high-quality corporate bond is triple B, doesn't help you a lot because you don't have then the numbers. What would my pension liability look like if I would use double A or single A? So again, I agree with you. It doesn't say double A, but at the end of the road, I think that we should at least try to give some more guidance on how you specify and calculate what high quality corporate bonds is. And if we cannot do that, which might be the case, then I would like to get at least more disclosure on this. Otherwise, I mean, this is really a very important issue. It has a huge impact. You know, talking about 100 basis points or even more on billions on pension, more on billions of pension liabilities, and we are just saying, well, you just look into 122 of IS1, and then you can see that they have used double B or triple B. Doesn't really help. So I think we should try to give a little bit more guidance, and if we say we cannot do that, as much as I hate it to increase disclosures, I think we need to give more guidance here on the disclosures, not simply saying, well, look into 122.
Okay, I have John, Lawrence, Luca, Scott, Charlotte, Andrew. Oh, and Fabian. John?
Yeah, in reading through the paper, as preparer, I had a big smile, and I was very happy because I was seeing that our liability would reduce by a couple of billion dollars. No joke. That's as significant as it is. It is the most significant change that we're bringing here. So, I don't think the mandate is to bring diversity of practice. So, I think this will create that. Or if it doesn't, I believe that it will bring companies towards the low end of the what this might be. I recognize that we have an issue because IFRS does not define what's high quality. I would argue it's investment grade. An investment grade is meant to be high quality for purposes of investment by pension fund, for example.
Triple B.
And that's huge difference. It will be a lot of pressure, even on internal, you know, preparers like us, by senior management. The focus of senior management is on that, because the liability is raising so much with this low interest rate environment that we have pressure from our board of directors to revisit that rate and to find ways to increase the rate. Having said so, I understand the analysis is right. I mean, it's not defined, but at the same time, it is not my understanding that there is diversity in practice. Maybe it's because of my environment. I think the prevailing view is today that it's double A corporate bonds and higher, maybe because of the SEC's guidance on that. But honestly, either we say it's single A, or it's investment grade, or it's double A, or I know we don't like rules, but at the same time, I think we need rules here.
Marantz?
I echo the comment being made that it's a hot topic, and whenever you talk about it, we're talking here billions. So it's highly significant. Also, up until now, there wasn't so much diversity in the population that was used in determining the discount rate, and effectively building on this SEC guidance dating 1993, so double A rated. But diversity will be emerging for sure for the year end with what is being proposed. So someone has to catch the hot potato, because markets, regulators, outsiders will criticize such an amount of diversity you're going to get. Because even if, so with this, it's the door open to, as you say, determine the way you, the discount rate, the way you want to determine the discount rate, and we're likely going to see in Europe discount rates using up to BBB population, investment grade population. I don't know how this is going to work for the European filers with the SEC, whether the SEC would accept such a determination, so we'll have diversity anyway. And what can we do? If I'm an auditor, I have to sign off. Am I going to say these are not high-quality corporate bonds? I have no basis because I don't know what these high-quality corporate bonds. You were to ask me today to say what high-quality corporate bonds, if there weren't that statement from the SEC dating 1993, I would be really embarrassed. Plus, I had information that effectively what was considered high-quality corporate bonds maybe in 1993 may have changed, evolved over time up until today. So I don't know what is high-quality corporate bonds. So then my reaction is, so far, companies, many companies, have made the judgment that high-quality corporate bonds is best represented by AA-rated bonds. They want to change. What is acceptable in terms of supporting documentation for justifying the change? We know that the population of AA-rated bonds has reduced, but it does not... You still have some. It has reduced, but you still have some. So do you consider that the fact that it has reduced is sufficient an argument to justify that you change and open up compared to your prior practices? So that's a question I have.
We need to move this along.
Tempus fugit.
Yeah.
Luca?
Comments. The first one is that not necessary, it is a choice. Sometimes you are forced to change. Because I agree that in general you have a look to AA as the high quality bonds to use. But if you look at the last couple of years, the iBox is reduced dramatically the number of bonds that are included inside. I think that nowadays there are with you. Euro currency with a duration of more than 10 years, I think that there are less than 10. And so the amount of your reference is not so big enough sometimes in order to produce your real calculation, because sometimes you will not have for a very long maturity, for instance, for 20 years, a high quality bonds of AA to be used in your calculation. So I think that some entities could be forced, especially if they because they are not able to obtain information on AA from the market, because there are a lot of reduction of the bulk of items that have this kind of rating. And in general, also the reference that has been, that is presented in AIS 19 regarding the use of government bond probably has been produced in a historic period in which government bond is more similar to a free risk rate. And nowadays we are exactly in the opposite situation. So
green government bond,
yes.
Discount rate skyrockets.
Okay, 25%.
Right.
Okay. I'm in line with the standards, but I'm using something with more than two digits.
Yeah.
So. No. So I think that we have to, the recommendation from the staff, I think that is what can be done now. And but we have to start thinking about the idea to refer to the board in order to start considering the new situation, economic situation, in order to review these elements that is absolutely relevant and absolutely with real impact on your figures. The other element that I would like to underline is that in the document that Michael circulated regarding the ESMA, the 12th of November, the ESMA said that he knew that this topic is under review by IFRIC, but at the same time say the idea of the staff is correct. So the ESMA emphasized that there is a particular need for transparency in this area, therefore entities are expected to disclose if they use the yields coming from high-quality corporate bonds or other means, a description of how they determine the yields from high-quality corporate bonds, including any significant judgment use, and then in reference to a regional market to which the user has access. So in other terms, the ESMA has took the occasion to say that in any case, whatever will be the discussion and the decision of this committee, in any case, they expect to have this kind of information in the next financial statements.
Scott?
So this issue was somewhat troubling to me because of what seems to have generated it. Everybody used to be comfortable using AA until there weren't enough AA. The standard says what to do if there's not enough high quality. It says go to government yields. I agree with Luca's concern that sometimes government yields might not be doing what we want them to do in this case. But, you know, the standard actually does tell you what to do if there aren't a lot of high quality, and it's not redefined high quality. I also note that IAS 8 says you can only change an accounting policy if it results in the financial statements providing reliable and more relevant information. If a company changes its definition of high quality from AA to A, how are they going to make that assertion that it produces more relevant information when the principle of IAS 19 is that the rate is not supposed to reflect actuarial or investment risk? I mean, it seems to me that the definitions that are included in the paper from Standard & Poor's of AA and A, it seems pretty clear that A has investment risk in it. So while I agree conceptually with what's proposed, that yes, the standard doesn't say what high quality is, and therefore you got to use judgment, we seem to have evidence that people are pushing towards using judgments that, at least to me, don't seem consistent with the objective stated in IAS 19. And we ought to try to convey to them that you ought not use such judgments if they result in you using a rate that incorporates actuarial or investment risk.
Okay, I'm starting to lose track. I'm going to cut this off precisely at 12:15 because we have a short lunch break and we can't run into the time that we've dedicated to the trustees. So we may have to pick this up either later this afternoon or next meeting in any event. I hesitate to push it to next meeting because this is sensitive for people for year-end filings.
Yes.
So let's keep the comments short. Charlotte?
The only comment I had is at the moment, the situation at the moment just doesn't seem to be workable, where some entities or preparers are forced to use AA simply because there is guidance from other authorities, whether it's the SEC or the ASB here, and that something ought to be in the standard to say what we should do, whether it's more guidance as to what high quality is, whether it's a set bond, whatever. I just think it needs to be done by the ISB rather than the SEC.
John? Okay. Fabian?
Oops. Okay. The feedback I got actually is along the lines, obviously, of what's been expressed already by the committee members. Maybe the most important feedback I got is that a rejection, even notice even in a draft form, is sort of dangerous for enforcers because it opens up the I mean, it gives way to a lot of diversity, and this is really difficult to enforce. So it's a real difficulty for enforcers. I guess what bright lines are difficult to set up. So it's more a type of methodology that would be useful to get to a reduced to reduce diversity. So if the members could come up with guidelines so as to how to determine the discount rate, that would be helpful, even if not achieved by the end of this year. The one of the points in paragraph 78 is the exclusion, and Scott touched on that, the exclusion of the investment risk. And one of the question or diversity in interpretation we hear is that investment risk could be seen as a default, a risk of default, rather than credit risk itself. So maybe trying to articulate better what investment risk is compared to credit risk could be a way forward.
Okay, I think Fei Long, you're next.
I understand there are significant diversities in practice, but I'm struggling about finding a solution for that. If we are in the direction of the recommendation of the staff, we have faced that the issue that what kind of ratings, minimum rating, in what kind of ratings, and which rating agents could be recognized, because in different jurisdictions they may have different rating agencies, and even for the biggest two agents like Standard & Poor's and Moody's, they have different criteria, different rating system. So they may change their criteria. Should we rely on just fix one or two ratings, or just come out a general concept for the ratings?
John?
I mean, I agree with staff that it's a matter of judgment, and IS-19 doesn't tell you what high quality is. But maybe if we are going to put out a rejection notice, we should actually say what it is not, in terms of, rather than trying to define what high quality is, what are the things that we think would not be high quality and would be inconsistent with the notion of high quality. Just to put out that the standard doesn't define high quality and refer to paragraph 84 and 85 doesn't really help preparers assess it and make the judgment. I think a rejection notice would also have to address how do you change your notion of what's high quality over time. And Scott referred to a change in policy. I mean, people don't necessarily believe it's a change in policy. Some people believe it's a change in estimate. And therefore, you don't need to have it be more relevant. So I think if we're going to do anything, we need to be far more fulsome in discussing some of these issues in a rejection notice.
Guido, I've got burned on the list too. We may, as I said, I'm going to cut it off precisely, and then we'll bring it back after we meet with the trustees. Guido?
It's John just said the question is whether it's a change in estimate or change in accounting policy, but even if it would, and I think it's a change in estimate, because it's just we are still at high quality corporate bonds, and nobody can tell me that AA is a high-quality corporate bonds. I mean, looking at the wording of Standard & Poor's, you might read into that for A, there is investment risk, for AA, there isn't. We'd like to see the wording of the other companies, so Moody's or whatever. So that doesn't really help us. I don't think that it gives us guidance. Maybe just one more point. I could always, and I think it's a good argument, say if I switch to A, away from AA. I have more companies to look at, and hence my estimate or my calculation is more reliable. Because the less companies you have on the long term, more than 10 years corporate bonds, the more estimates you have to do. So from my point of view, I could say it's more reliable to give the information for single A. And again, I think we have only two options. Maybe for the sake of time, I don't know whether we could pursue this way, but say, well, okay, if you change or whatever you use, but you need to disclose more than what is in 122, or at least give some guidance in the rejection wording. I think we will not come up with a conclusion before year end by saying, oh, it's single A, it's triple B, it's investment grade. Or how do you define investment risk? And I agree that that might be a way to go. That's why I said at the beginning, the submitter asked the question, is it meant to be risk-free or is it something else? I don't think that we can resolve this issue. So maybe in the meantime, my proposal would be to say, well, it's not clear, but if you are changing or whatever you're doing, the disclosure has to be more than just saying, well, I use triple B or single A, and this is this is the amount that came out of it. I mean.
Ernst?
Well, when I look at the relevant paragraphs 83 and so forth, I think they were written in a different market environment where we are now. So they, when the ISB wrote that, they had something else in mind than we have now. For example, if you look at the case of corporate bonds, or if you don't have high quality government bonds, if you don't have high quality corporate bonds, look at government bonds, and Luca already pointed that out. And I think in 84, second sentence, it clearly says that discount rate reflects the time value of money and nothing else, and that's the risk-free rate to me. So that's nothing else but the risk-free rate.
Sorry, that's not true.
Well.
Okay, and then we'll cut it off.
The standards use time value of money in very different ways. So if you look at the new REFREC, time value of money includes the default rate. If you look into IS 36, it excludes default rate. If you look into the new insurance standard, it includes liquidity risk. So time value of money does not per se mean it's risk-free.
Yeah, but I would have liked in this context, I would read it as risk-free.
Then I would have taken AAA and not AA.
And I think you should not look at individual ratings anyway, because I don't trust the rating agencies, you know. I guess Lehman.
What reason would you have for that?
You know, if you look at AA, and Lehman was AA a week before they defaulted. So, you know, we shouldn't focus on.
Yeah, but after they defaulted.
They were D, right. But we shouldn't look at specific ratings. And that's why I'd say we should put out some guidance towards use your judgment, but it's rather the risk-free end than the more risky end, which is not very helpful.
But don't
use AA because I don't trust them.
See, he doesn't trust auditors. He doesn't trust rating agencies. Okay. We're going to break now. Come back promptly at 1. We will revisit this if necessary to the exclusion of anything else.
Okay, so public session's at 2 o'clock.
Public session starts at 2 o'clock. Public session.